Good evening, James McKenna here with my Science Hour. It is August 1st, 2019, already heading into the home stretch here in 2019. This is unbelievable. A few comments tonight, a lot of topics, some dealing with security in foreign countries, some dealing with cybersecurity, really a lot of things to get to. So on to the first topic here. This in from a listener. I answered a question recently about pole shifts and versus magnetic pole shifts, and he says, thank you so much for the detailed discussion regarding the differences between physical pole shifts and magnetic pole shifts. You described a very violent process taking place during an actual physical pole shift. Thank you. And yes, nobody can even imagine. I mean, I've been in earthquakes. I've been in big earthquakes, 7.0 and above. And yeah, it rocks your boat. I mean, there's nobody that lives through an earthquake and says, oh yeah, that was a lot of fun. I've yet to meet that person. Or how about a Cat 4 or 5 hurricane? Somebody that lives through one of those babies. I don't know anybody that says, yeah, that was just swell. I want to do it again. No. But those are the kind of normal violent things that we have on planet Earth. Nobody can even imagine. And if you want to get a handle on what this might be like, go read the Colburn. Pick it up. Start on page 1. And you will get a feeling for what happened. The survivors, very few survivors out of the last major event, celestial event, where a comet came by and rocked the planet Earth that we live on. It also rocked the planet Mars and possibly other members of the solar system. In fact, probably the moons of Jupiter got a little activity there also. But it relieved the oceans and atmospheres of Mars. And what happens? The gravitational pull strips off the oceans, literally sucks them right off in a matter of hours. And prior to that, Mars was a blue planet. And Earth has had this happen to Earth on many occasions during these physical pole shifts. If there's a physical pole shift, that means the object is close enough to actually cause a gravitational connection. And then all of the other things happen, the pollution event, the stripping or the exchange of atmosphere, on and on and on. But the people that describe this, I don't know if we're fortunate, but we do have historical record of these kind of events taking place. And imagine tsunamis, thousands of feet high, washing over the land. The Mayan Popol Vuh, the Colburn, which is from a different part of the world, has historical records. Remember, the Mayans were not even known about in even ancient Greek history or going back to Babylonian history. The Mayans in the Western Hemisphere was not even known about. And they come out with exactly the same story. And that's what Velikovsky was talking about. Velikovsky discussed one of these events. And by the way, as I mentioned in my discussion, very important, when you look at, just go do this, go do a Google search, the disinformation CIA Google, do a search on world catastrophes, or better yet, mass extinctions. They do not list the most recent one, which we all know was related to the recent ice age and the demise of the mastodons and woolly mammoths, which are found all over the world. The remains of them, I should say, are found all over the world. Alaska, South America, Patagonia, Russia, Siberia, you know, everywhere you can find mastodons. They were all over the place. And they went under, and nobody says a thing about them, because the NASA asteroid hit it, caused everything in the world asteroid hit it concept doesn't work, because we would have physical evidence of a major, major crater on Earth, kind of like the Arizona, Winslow, Arizona crater site. The only problem is there would be a massive crater site, recent, that were very visible. If it was in the middle of the ocean, if it was in the middle of the land someplace, you would see it. We would have a very visible, visual contact with this so-called asteroid. So they don't talk about it. It's an event that's just been simply dropped off the edge of the Earth. Okay, so anyway, that's one issue. And then the person writing in the email also points out, now we just have gone through, in fact, we're still being affected by the connection with Saturn. And we're about to have a new moon, and a new moon passing, I should say. That's like 2 days after the new moon and Saturn connection. And that'll be very interesting, because we have some minor storms developing in the Atlantic, but already major storms in the Pacific Ocean. One of them, they say, is destined to pass far south of the island of Hawaii on the end of this week. So starting Thursday, Friday, possibly some effects. But also their names are Eric and Flossie. And the predictions are that neither one of them will have an effect on the Hawaiian Islands, whereas you get other predictions that there's going to be monsoonal rains and heavy winds, etc. So the reality is, as I said in my Atlantis to Tesla book, you can't predict the weather if you don't know what causes the weather. So that's why mainstream media, the news weather media, are so incorrect all the time, because they have no idea what's going on. Of course, they don't know about the Saturn connection that's causing all of this. Weather doesn't just happen. Things just don't happen. Crustal shifts of the Earth just don't happen. Like all of a sudden, one day the Earth's crust decides to shift, even if over a long period of time. That's why plate tectonics is such a ridiculous concept, because things take energy sources. Things take forces, and to cause a force to work on something which is work, which requires energy, I mean, you have to identify the energy source, and that's what I've done in my work. I've identified this is basic physics, and the weather people haven't done that. They have not done that. So at any rate, back to the listener's email here. And I appreciate people's emails, and it makes note that next year, July of 2020, the Earth and Jupiter and Saturn will have a combined electrical alignment, because Jupiter and Saturn move relatively slowly. Jupiter has a 10-year orbit around the sun, so it takes a long time. By the time Earth comes around next year, Saturn will not have moved hardly at all in its position in the heavens. So anyway, that'll be an interesting time, something to keep an eye on, and hopefully people will remind me again about that time. My mind is so diversified these days on various topics that it's hard to keep up with all of this. So I appreciate my fans looking into this, and also just remind me. But here's a comment. Also, it's in the same email, it says, you were spot on correct several years ago when you predicted abnormally high winds during a particular day here in the USA. In fact, there were enormously high winds affecting much of the planet. On purpose, I made a point of listening to the weather forecast that same evening. All the National Weather Service weathermen had to say was, well, where did those winds come from? They weren't in the yesterday's forecast. You are so right. They don't have a clue. So anyway, reaching out from fans. This fan happens to be in Texas. Anyway, okay. A big, big, big announcement here. Remember my whole house water filters. Well, we've gone through some iterations. I started out selling the MR5 and the MR9. And so the MR means multi-round. In other words, it's a big canister, vertical canister, a tube, if you will, about 4 feet tall, that houses 20-inch, well, it's probably not quite 4 feet tall, but these are big, and they hold five 20-inch filter elements. Now, these are the same filter elements that are in my over-sink or under-sink filters, but they're big. And when you put five of them together, you can get a decent flow rate, enough to filter water for your house. And just an aside note, too, if people are using these little teeny shower filters, let me tell you something, they don't work. I could sell those, but I don't, because I don't want you to get the impression that somehow it's filtering the bad stuff out of your water. You need a lot of filtration. You need big filters when you have that kind of water flow. Imagine your gravity feed water filter. You have one or two 7-inch candles, and you get a drip, drip, drip like that out of each one of these. About every second you get a drip. And that's enough over a course of maybe 4 hours to filter a couple gallons of water. But imagine you've got the water going out of a shower head or a hose that's watering your garden, and you want to have clean water. You can't do it with some little dinky thing that sits up on the shower head. I'm sorry. They don't work. And it's really pathetic that people are selling this stuff. It's junk. And so anyway, I sell whole house water filters that are real filters, and their capacity has been measured and verified for the lifetime of their filters. That's another thing. People are doing these, they ran a 5-minute test and it takes out chloramine. It's like a piece of paper would take out chloramine for for a half a gallon of water just by absorption. It's ridiculous. People don't understand what filtration is all about. Okay, so anyway, I was selling the MR5 and the MR9 filters, and those were relatively good pricing. They had plastic containers, and then we switched to stainless steel, and to kind of be economical, we went to an MR7. It was halfway between the MR5 and MR9. And unfortunately, the stainless steel container came out really, really expensive, which drove the price up nearly to $4,000 for one of these home units. Okay, so then I said, okay, this is not going to work. I cannot charge that price point for a whole house filter. You know, I might sell one or two, but I'm not going to sell a lot of these, and I'm not going to get them into the hands of people who need them. So back to the drawing board. Okay, so now we have stainless steel containers that are very reasonably priced, and I put together a package for the MR5 and an MR7. These are the MR5 contains five of the 20-inch filters. The MR7 contains seven of them, and they're now listed on my webpage. But the beauty of this is that the pricing has dropped dramatically. So you can get a whole house filter now for $1,666. That is less than half of what the previous filters sold for. So anyway, I'm very happy about this. So go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. And by the way, we still have free shipping to the 48 states. I've had to add some things. I'm going to have to start charging shipping on my products, unfortunately. So there's a way I'm doing this. If you purchase over a certain amount of product, I will pay the shipping. But for smaller orders, like for four filter elements or even 10, for 10, I'll probably pay the shipping. That's okay. But if somebody's ordering four filter elements or something, I'm sorry, you're going to have to pay the shipping, because it costs as much to ship those four filters as it does to ship 10. And it's just, it really makes me angry. I just saw an newspaper article about Jeff Bezos. Sells $1.8 billion of his Amazon stock just so he has some walking around money, you know. But Amazon pays nothing for shipping. For me to ship the same product, not the same product, because you can't buy my products on Amazon, For me to sell an equivalent size package, I'll put it that way, is Amazon. They're paying a few cents. I'm paying $25 to $30 to ship that water filter to you, and I can't do it anymore. There was a time when the average shipping price was like $10 to $12. Now it's close to $30. I can't do it anymore. So you will see some charges for shipping based on the amount of the order. So if people are putting in small orders and the P.O. boxes, the post office has gone crazy. They're charging, I paid for one shipment of a water filter the other day, $65 to ship a water filter across the country. I mean, that's absurd. So if you only have a P.O. box to ship to, sorry, you're going to have to pay that shipping. I can't absorb $65 in shipping because you don't have a physical address to ship to. So anyway, that's the way it's going to be. Or Alaska, Hawaii also are going to be paying because the shipping companies just charge exorbitant. All of that has to go air. And so unfortunately, there again, you're dealing with very exorbitant shipping prices. So for those cases, I'm going to have to charge shipping. And that's just the way it is. So if you have an order over, say, I'll just say $350, then I'll cover the shipping. If it's less than that, you're going to have to pay the shipping. Sorry. Anyway, I tried to have free shipping as long as possible, but the MR5 and 7, I'm still picking up the shipping costs on that. So the point is that these are big units, and you're going to need a physical address because they go freight. So anyway, if you live in Hawaii and you want one, or some other place, or Alaska, then you're going to pay some serious shipping pricing. But to the 48 states, it's still free shipping. So I would suggest, and plus I have a 10% sale on the whole house water filters, the MR5 and 7. And so, and also you can get, if you buy replacement filter packs with the original order, you're going to get a big, big discount for those because we ship it all at the same time. And if you buy those separately later, you're going to pay a premium in shipping, etc. So anyway, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, right at the top, the link to the sales page, and scroll down and look at the MR5, MR7 filters. And so I want to promote those because really everybody needs decent filtration. And all my other water filters are on sale for 15% off. Okay, enough advertisement. But as you know, I don't get government grants. I don't have a $21 billion a year NASA budget behind me. I don't have sponsors. I don't have people. I don't take donations. And so what I operate on for all of this stuff is the water filter sales. Of course, the wing generator stuff is going on in the background, but that's an early on business, and it's not producing what you would call usable revenue at this point. It's still, you know, we're in the process of trying to build that business. And so, at any rate, the main thing that pays for this show and all of the other stuff that's visible to you is the sale of water filters. And I should also comment that I went around and looked at my competition. There is no competition for my products because nobody has a filter that takes everything out. All of the other products require an add-on filter for fluoride and arsenic, but they don't tell you that. They just make bland statements about how great their water filters are, and some don't even say anything. But they all need an add-on filter to take out just fluoride and arsenic. Mine do not. It's all in one. Okay, so anyway, my filters cost less than any other brand on the market. Lots less, my filter elements. They're much better, and you still get free shipping. So once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com. Okay, here's a story. Just quickly, there's a 22-year-old from Colombia that won the Tour de France. And the issue here is that this kid, last year there was a Colombian bicyclist that came in second in the Tour de France. And Colombia is a war-torn country. It's still in the throes of civil war. Their roads are crumbling. It's a country with tremendous, tremendous corruption in the government at all levels. And so these kids that are bicyclists have no support at all. None. If you look at the Tour de France, you have the French and Italian and the Spanish team, and they get a lot of money. They get a lot of support, and they work as a team to try and win. And here's a kid that comes from a poor South American country, and literally with no team, and I want to be specific, they are members physically or technically of a team, but the teams don't help them. In the where like blocking wind and the other things that teams do to help the guy that they think is going to win, but they had this kid had no help. So a 22-year-old kid that grew up in the poor rural regions of South American country wins the Tour de France, blows the whole track away. So this is an amazing feat. And by the way, I was on John Moore's show yesterday. It was really a very uncomfortable event because I mentioned this, and some clown calls in, and he says, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I watched it on TV for the last 30 years, and he's some kind of armchair expert in the Tour de France. Well, I happen to know people in South American countries personally, and I know what the conditions are like, that they do not have a team. All these other countries have a team, but because of the vast corruption in that particular country, these kids do this on their own. This is something they do out of the love of the game. It's not because they're getting, you know, $20,000 bicycles for free and all of this equipment and all of this training. They don't have trainers. They train themselves, and they're just, this is something that, and by the way, the reason Colombia is such a corrupt country is because of the CIA, because of the Banana Republic policy, foreign policy of the United States over the years. And so anyway, for somebody to come out of that and do something on the international level, just out of pure physical ability, you know, is amazing, absolutely astonishingly amazing that somebody would take it upon themselves to do this. So anyway, okay, here's something. This was caught coming into this country, 6 shipping containers. And if you've been around shipping containers, they hold a lot of stuff. 6 shipping cargo containers full of ammunition, military-grade ammunition, and machine guns. Like Uzis. And this came in for, and it was marked Muslim furniture for Muslim refugees. If you have any doubts about what's going on here, they fly these people into Mexico, they come across our southern border, and you have these insane senators like Pelosi and the Mod Squad or whatever they call these bubble-headed chicks. These people are nuts. If they think that, oh, these are just families coming in and they're poor children. No, the majority of children coming across that border are trafficked, they're kidnapped, they're not with their parents, and they're being trafficked for human trafficking. So if you think they're just loving families coming across the border, you're wrong. And the other ones have to pay money to coyotes to bring them here. It's a horrific situation. It's not about humanitarian aid. These are, and then you have the Muslims and the Africans coming into this country, and you have shipping containers coming in with arms. If you don't have a realistic idea of what's going on here, then get out of your little world there, as my Uncle Ben used to say. Open up your big brown eyes and see what's going around you in the world today. And that's exactly what's going on. And I have friends that'll say, oh, it's so, we have to take care of all these people. Well, no, the majority of people coming across the border are not here for good intent. They're thieves, they're robbers, and Sure, there's some that are families that have gotten there. But the issue is, and this is something I've traveled to foreign countries, if this is the thing, back to the guy that called into John Moore's show, that clown, here's a guy that sat in grandma's basement watching the Tour de France, and he's telling me that this guy had a team. And I was a little irritated with John, too. John was trying to cover it over and go, oh, John. John was saying, well, the country, I'm sure, has a development program for cyclists and stuff. No, they don't. They don't have anything because of the CIA drug program with the United States. The CIA is the biggest drug trafficking agency in the world, and that's what they do. That's why they own Google. Jeff Bezos doesn't own Google. The CIA owns Google. Jeff Bezos is a front guy that they have to put up there, just like Facebook and Twitter and all of the other social media are all CIA-owned. Wikipedia, controlled by the CIA. All of this is disinformation. The New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN. The CIA bought CNN back in 1991. With drug money. So anyway, yeah, start to figure out what's going on in the world today. So at any rate, the whole issue here is that this is coming in under the watchful eye of people in very high places in the United States. 6 shipping containers full of arms and bullets. That's enough to shoot and kill hundreds of thousands of Americans. And this is the one they caught. As John Moore said, they probably capture about 5% of what's coming into the country. So you have hundreds of shipping containers coming into this country with arms and ammo, military grade, and cash is in this country right now. And imagine how much came in under the Obama watch. So make no mistake about what's going on here, that this is, they are planning a major destructive event for the United States, and it's all being coordinated right under your nose. So you better thank goodness you have a president that's watchful of this and doing things in spite of the fact that the Congress is more interested in investigating than they are in protecting this country and keeping open borders. By the way, if you watch the Democratic debate, there's one or two sane ones there, but the rest of these Looney Tunes, oh my God, just a bunch of Looney Tune. It was like a freak show. Continuing on that same vein, there's activity going on in the background, if you haven't seen, regarding election fraud that happened in 2016 and the 2018 congressional election. And thank goodness there's a lot going. I'll just say that there's a lot going on in the background to try and prevent this in the next election. And one of the contributing factors here is my white paper on election fraud that people are starting to see and understand where the election fraud is occurring, how it is occurring, and how to fix it. So anyway, very important to have fair elections in this country. And in the 2016 presidential election, Trump actually won by about 17 million votes. It was an absolute landslide victory. And that's my white paper discusses that Hillary Clinton got about 17 million illegal votes, mainly at the local precinct level. A lot of people think, oh, illegal aliens voting. That's one actually small factor. But it's the local precincts actually cheating, stuffing the ballot box, and using voter registration fraud to do it. Okay, so anyway, that's a topic that will continue. In Peru, a place I've been a bit in my life, and wrote the paper on the Nazca Lines, which I'll hopefully discuss here a little later. There was a call-in question on a show where I was a guest recently. But Peru has a travel advisory. Do not go any place outside of Lima. If you've ever been in Peru, you have Lima, you have Cusco, and then the tourist areas, the Inca tourist areas, primarily around Cusco, tourist region where you go to, say, Machu Picchu and things like that. But they advise no travel, no private travel. When I was there in Peru, I would drive around in a car. I would rent a car. And it's not like the U.S. You don't get a brand new Honda car. You get an old car that will get you around, but it's not like a brand spanking new car that you rent. But anyway, that was my choice of transportation, so that I could see the countryside and visit the people, etc., which I did. But now there's a travel advisory because they don't know who it is. Mainly they say drug gangs, or they just don't even say that. They just say gangs. But I'm convinced that the Muslims are moving into these countries, these South American countries. And that's also happening. There's training camps for Muslims in northern Mexico, where they're doing military training. And so that's something that they're trying to clean up. But it's very difficult because these are in very remote locations. These are very heavily armed. So it's difficult for these small countries to get the support it needs to fend off these basically invasions. So anyway, Peru travel advisory, they say do not go outside of Lima. So that's just the capital city. Do not go out in the countryside traveling on your own because you could be stopped, robbed, and potentially killed. So anyway, quite the world we live in, and all of this, still arms sales are still one of the major forms of income around the world. John Moore was saying that they're still selling World War I machine guns on the open market. These are still being passed around. There's a DHS, Department of Homeland Security, security alert for small aircraft, stating that small aircraft can be hacked and otherwise manipulated, managed from afar. So they're saying do not allow any unauthorized activity around the small aircraft. This is like small single twin engine aircraft that are personal aircraft. And I just also want to remind you of the John Denver crash, where his long, easy aircraft had been manipulated. And that's something, there was never any investigation into that, what was going on there. It was just for example, the Paul Wellstone air incident in northern Minnesota, when he was taken out clearly by the CIA-type tactics, because he was opposing, he was the one lone vote against going to the Iraq war. And he said no, he was not going to go along with that, and he ended up and his whole family dead. So manipulating small aircraft, I particularly don't like small aircraft myself. That's for your information. There was a Capital One data breach. You probably all heard about this. 100 million people affected. The woman who allegedly did this posted this on a web page, like a bot. And so I don't know, I still smell something going on here. But it turns out that the regulatory commissions are starting to fine these banks. Capital One first made it sound like they were a victim. Well, no, they're the problem. They're the cause of this. And the Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, which is a follow-on to my Calculate Primes book, which broke the RSA encryption codes. These companies are still using prime number encryption. And when you have, for example, SSL, if you have a secure socket layer attachment registration for your web page, or if you're going to web pages and there's that little lock up in the left-hand corner, or if they don't have it, you get this alert message, don't go to this site, it could be hazardous to your computer's health, one of those things. That's a scam. That is one of the biggest scams going. They collect $125 every year for every web page that has this secure socket layer. This is another Google orchestrated scam because it doesn't protect you from anything. It's like I've said before, if you had 100 people walking down the street and there was one thief and you had all your stuff with you, the thief would go after the guy with the most stuff, and that would be somebody like Target, or in this case, Capital One. That's who the hacker is going to go after. He's not going to go after you buying underwear on Amazon. But the point is that the so-called secure socket layer, the security that they sell for computing, for ordering online, etc., is simply not existent. The only thing that you have going for you is that you're just some small potato and you don't count. And there's not somebody sitting outside your door trying to tap into your internet feed to steal your credit card, which probably has a limit of, $1,000, $2,000, something like that, or maybe you have more, whatever. But your small potatoes, they want Capital One with 100 million customers. That's what they're going to go for. Because if they're going to get caught, they may as well get caught big. It's like a lot of corruption. You don't want to steal hubcaps. You want to steal something of value. So it's the same thing. The only protection you have online is the fact that you're just a small potato and nobody really cares about you. Nobody's going to go after you. And so the secure socket layer is like protection. So it's like, okay, you have 100 people walking down the street, and some guy comes along and says, hey, there's thieves out there. I can sell you some protection. So they sell you some protection. You put it on. You walk down the street and nothing happens. You think, wow, that protection really worked. Well, no, it didn't work at all. It's just that the thief can only rob one guy. And he's going to pick the guy with the most stuff. And he's going to go slam bam that guy and steal all his stuff, even though that guy bought the protection and nobody notices that. That's what's going on here, made simple. This is so simple that even Capital One IT people could understand this, but they don't. So they're starting to find the institution, which is good. That puts the responsibility on them. They can't say, oh, this firewall we bought. And then they should likewise go and put out of business the companies that are selling them their firewalls, because they don't work. But let's get back to the basic point. Why don't they work? Because the NSA and the CIA, who monitor all of this stuff, won't allow software to be sold to the public that works, because the CIA and the NSA want to get into your computers too. And if you had real software protection, they couldn't get in either. Ask yourself this question. Why could an email of some employee clicking on the wrong thing cause viruses to enter your computer and take it over? The only way that can happen is somebody programmed it to do that. Somebody programmed it to allow that to happen. So, that's absurd. Computers only do what you tell them to do. And so to have a back door into your computer, it's required. That's why Bill Gates is a billionaire. That's why he hangs out with Bill Clinton, is because once Bill Gates was going to be a tough guy, he was going to oppose the CIA and the NSA from getting into Microsoft software. And he had two choices. They could probably get killed and thrown out of business, or join the cartel and allow Microsoft products to allow the CIA and NSA into your computer. And that's what he did. So then he became a billionaire and got all kinds of benefits, him and his wife. They have their own foundation. Aren't they the benefactors of the world? No, they're trash. Trailer trash with $1 billion. That's Bill Gates. Okay, so anyway, enough of that. Here's an issue. Hurricanes in the Pacific. There's a couple of them, and this is due to our connection with Saturn. you see a lot of tropical storm activity, but it's not enough to drive up serious hurricanes. So we have probably right now probably 40 to 50 tropical storms around the equator. And of course, you're not going to hear the real cause of this on the fake controlled weather media. Here's an interesting story. We're talking about cybersecurity and also the control of Google and Facebook, etc., in controlling elections. If you want to look for election control, that's where it is. That's one of these sites, and there have finally been some congressional hearings on this. I saw Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, interviewing a guy who said that in 10 minutes, Google can influence 3 to 10 million people on how to vote and to get out to vote and selectively send get out and vote messages to only Democrats and not to Republicans, and therefore swing elections simply by notifications, just reminding people to go out to vote or some other form of mental manipulation. But in the first presidential debate for the Democratic Party, a woman named Tulsi Gabbard, a representative from one of the districts of the Hawaiian Islands, she had the most activity, apparently, after that debate, the most activity of people. So she bought a lot of advertisement to raise money. And so after the debate, she went out to Google to buy advertisement, and they blocked her. She's now suing Google. So anyway, finally, some big hitters are starting to sue Google. And if anybody on the planet has a right to sue Google, it would be me. They've been doing this to me for decades, putting disinformation sites. When you search on my name, what do you get? You get a bunch of disinformation sites that slam me, that say negative things about me that are not even true, that mischaracterize who I am and what my history is. But Google has been putting them there, and they also, YouTube will block. Go to any place on YouTube dealing with weather, dealing with comets, dealing with anything, electric universe, whatever it is. Put in a blog note mentioned James McCanney. And here's what will happen. You'll go back and you will see your blog note there based on the computer you sent this from, but go to a different computer and your blog note will not be there. That's how sophisticated they are. They can identify you, and when you go to look for your blog note, you will see it, but nobody else can see it. That's how sophisticated they are. But they've been doing this to me for years. And then they say, oh, well, he doesn't have any references, therefore it's not legitimate. He's not legitimate. That's a claim of legitimacy, is the number of hits you get from Google or from YouTube. And then they say, oh, well, he doesn't have any activity, and therefore he doesn't have any, he doesn't have any ratings. Well, they create that. And this has been going on for years. So anyway, okay, enough of that. But I want to talk a little bit about the horrendous conditions during a poll shift. This is something, as I said, if you want to read the first pages of the Colburn, or if you want to read the Popol Vuh of the Mayans. Popol Vuh is one of the books that when the Spanish came, they destroyed all of the literary works of the Mayans, which is horrendous. There was a little bit is left over, and typically goes by the name of Popol Vuh. But if you read that, they talk about the oceans coming over the land, that Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent god of the night sky, whose heart eventually became the planet Venus, they're talking about the Venus comet, the same one that affected Moses, affecting that area, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the rumbling earth, everything that Velikovsky talks about in that event. And remember that Velikovsky only identifies one of the physical traumas that Earth has experienced. The Popol Vuh, the Colburn, talks about multiple events and multiple large comets in the sky at the same time. So anyway, The issue here is that what I wanted to stress is the tremendous upheaval that goes on planet Earth. Imagine a land tidal wave of 100 feet. In other words, this is a wave moving across the land at about 1,000 miles an hour. That's the rate at which the Earth turns under the moon or would be turning under a passing planet. And that could be added, it could be up to 100, maybe 1,500 miles an hour if the comet nucleus, this giant planet in formation object, were coming that close to Earth. So imagine a 100-foot wave in the Earth moving at 1,000 miles an hour and then all the aftershocks, etc., that would go with it. Imagine trumpeting. Now, this is another thing that all of the ancient cultures talk about, is trumpeting. When the electrical connection of between the comet and Earth begin, you get basically the vibrations, the resonant frequencies, etc., sound like trumpeting. And all of the ancient cultures talk about this, the trumpeting. And the end result is that most of the people were deaf. So you had an entire generation of people who were deaf. They couldn't hear. For example, the Colburn talks about the people coming out of the mountains, out of the caves. A lot of the people that survived, we know, for example, that the Greeks were the modern Greeks that we talk about, you know, the Plato, the Aristotle, and those guys, came out of about another 1,000 years prior to them was when the major event occurred. But their ancestors lived through that event, and they completely lost all of that history. Because you can imagine if the ancestors going back 15 generations were deaf, they couldn't talk, they had no language, they had no way to pass this down to their kids. And so the kids eventually developed a language which we now know as Greek, and the symbolism, the mathematics. These were intelligent people, but they went through a worldwide catastrophe. So imagine an entire generation of people, these were survivors, up in the mountains, living in caves, sheep herders, that began the current Greek assemblage of humans. Imagine that an entire generation was deaf. They couldn't hear anything, therefore they couldn't talk. They couldn't teach their kids language. This is one of the things that happened that we know. This is in the historical record. Also, if you look at the Colburn, which talks about the ancient text, and remember that the Colburn, where did it come from? The Colburn was a series of books that were in the library of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was the great uncle of Christ. He was Mary's uncle, basically. And he was the guy that asked for the body of Christ after the crucifixion, if you remember. And, of course, the Bible cuts out all the good part. That's the only time he really comes up in the Bible. But then, and even in the Bible, they just call him a rich Roman businessman. Oh, why did some rich Roman businessman have anything to do with the body of Christ? Well, it's because it was his uncle. And Christ spent a lot of time with this guy when he was growing up, obviously. And Joseph of Arimathea traveled down into Eastern Europe, down to Jerusalem and those areas. And he also traveled a lot to England. He was a businessman. He dealt with metals. And he was dealing with the metal industry in England, which, of course, was very rudimentary at the time. But for the Roman Empire, that was one of their sources of metal, was England. Okay, so at any rate, the Colburn was a collection of books which, after the crucifixion, they took the cross, they took the chalice, and they took the the cloth that Christ had been buried in, also apparently the cloth that they had wiped his face with, also known as the Shroud of Turin, which has a history of its own. But all of these things have a history. I'm not going to go into the history of these. But anyway, Joseph of Arimathea took all of this to England. At the time, the Glastonbury Abbey was just a kind of a compound, a very small compound. And eventually, over the centuries, it grew into what is there today. But anyway, that's where the abbey was initiated. He took Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he took Mary Magdalene, apparently a few other people, and he said, okay, I've had enough of this Rome stuff, and he just went off to England to live the rest of his life. But he took his library with him. And the whole history there is that the Roman army went out to destroy the abbey, and it was fairly heavily protected by the English, by the Celts. And so the Roman army never fared very well. So they finally sent a massive army out there, and they were able to reach the abbey and basically burn everything down and burn all the records. But the people at the abbey got wind that the Romans were on their way with a big force, and they got a lot of the materials out of there. Then they went back after the fire and they picked up a lot of the scraps, and that is where the Colburn Inn came from, the remnants of the Library of Joseph of Arimathea. And so it's not a Bible, it's a collection of old books. And so anyway, the very beginning part talks about the destruction of man, is actually the title. And they talk about two times. Well, we know from the ancient Egyptians that there were five major earthwide catastrophic events in the 10,000 years that preceded that. So we're talking about the time of Christ around the year 0, 33 or whatever. In the Julian calendar, it's 33. And then AD actually begins the Julian calendar that we're dealing with today. But the going back in history, we don't have a lot of information on their calendar. But at any rate, the whole issue here is that the Colburn was a collection of ancient books. So the knowledgeable people back in Rome and in those days had a history going back to the major events, these catastrophic events. And of course, none of this is taught anywhere today. Not in the Catholic Church, not in any other place on the planet. And you would think the Catholic Church would be one of the primary locations where you would find this information. But it's hidden, it's there, in somewhat in plain sight, but in the Vatican. But the Vatican has been completely taken over by Jesuits, and I'm not going to go into that right now, but basically we're talking about information. Or as a better term, disinformation. But getting back to the pole shifts, the entire history of that pole shift, and I should change the term, when Mark Gaffney was a guest on my show here a couple weeks ago, he was talking about crustal deformation. And that's a much, much better word, as I talked about last week on my show, because it's not like the whole crust of the earth shifts. If the deformation is in certain areas primarily. Okay, so at any rate, the devastating event, I mean, anybody who lived through this, we're talking, okay, let me use some terms that some of you might understand. When we talk about earthquakes today, for example, or tsunamis, we talk about the height of the wave, as it comes in the shore. And, for example, the tsunami that hit Japan that allegedly caused the Fukushima meltdown of the reactors at Fukushima at the Daiichi power plant was actually very small. It was a result of an alleged 5.0 earthquake. What we know is that those were atomic bombs that were set off to cause the earthquake. And the resulting tsunami was very small, was actually very small. If you see it, the actual footage, the ocean just kind of raises and it kind of slashes in and slashes out. It's not this massive tsunami that they talk about. Up in the northeastern corner of Japan, it was a little more, a little more expressive, because right at the coast, you see some cars washing away, but that's really, in terms of tsunamis, it was really small time. The Popol Vuh talks about the oceans washing over the lands that was brought on the back of Quetzalcoatl. The Velikovsky talks about the earthquakes, etc. But imagine in terms of earthquakes, that on a Richter scale, I've been in 8.0 earthquakes. I remember a number of years ago, I was in Ecuador on the coast when they were having the big earthquakes down there. And these were being caused by the rods from God coming in from the United States. And it was all over Julian Assange and Ecuador keeping Julian Assange, who they were trying to get to stop because he was basically releasing information about the Hillary Clinton emails, which he had gotten from Seth Rich, the guy working in the Democratic Party, and that's where they came from. That's pretty much everybody knows that now. Back to the idea that of earthquakes. So an 8.0 earthquake, let me tell you, that's rocking and rolling. That's a big earthquake. Imagine a 25 on the Richter scale earthquake. That's what we're talking about. And every point, like if you go from a 7 to an 8 on the Richter scale, that's a factor of 10 in movement, in power, in deformation of the Earth's crust, of shaking 10 times. So go from instead of a 7 to an 8, go from an 8 to a 25. We're talking, just a tremendous, tremendous shaking of planet Earth and earthquakes. And then the volcanoes go off. This is another kind of fun fact about the volcanoes, that if you cycle them back on their cycle times, they all go back to that period of around 1500 BC. It's one of those physical pieces of evidence that corroborates Velikovsky's dating. And I don't pick dates myself, but I think Velikovsky is the best person that has done dating of that event around 1500 to 1600 BC. Okay, so at any rate, I'm just about out of time here. Remember the MR5 and the MR7 water filters on sale, super pricing, including free shipping to the 48 states. Go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Also, my new book release, Principal Prime Numbers, Volume 1, all on the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.